Lead Festival Podcast Network, hosting a range of shows from food and drink, healthy living, music, and so much more. Supported by the Cora Foundation Enabling Neighbourhoods and Communities Grant, the Cora Foundation helps improve the lives of individuals and communities experiencing disadvantage all across Scotland and in developing countries. Hi everyone, I'm Carrie B and welcome to Love That Track. This is your brand new podcast focusing on great music and the reasons we love those songs. This month I'm joined by a local hip-hop legend. He's worked with pretty much everybody in the Scottish scene, including Steg G, Conscious Root, Big Taj, just to name a few, and has also featured for Charlie Sloth on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra, live as part of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and also on film as part of the Rap Britannia documentary. I have had the pleasure of working with him on projects for Savage Recordings and UV Beats. It is the one and only Sons of Scotland rapper, it's Word.
Thank you so much for joining me in the studio today, Word. We're going to start with a little chat about your Leith musical memories. So tell us something musical you've loved about Leith in the past.
First off, thanks for having me. Privileged to be on. Leith, well, apart from living there, I've done a lot of wee gigs in Leith. I mean, there's not many big venues in Leith, I would say, but my favourite thing about Leith, for what I've done for years, was probably the Sketchy Beats night. I ran an event called the Hip Hop House, which was once a month every Friday, which was really just a crazy good underground sort of hip hop venue. It was just something that we really needed in Edinburgh, like no bouncers, no ticket prices, no closing time.
Yeah.
And just because it was community. Funded sort of non-profit, it was just one of these things where everyone just went to have a good time, and when acts were coming to play, we weren't paying them, everyone was just doing it for the love of coming and sharing their music and having hip-hop cyphers, and something that Edinburgh and Leith really lacked, and that was a great time doing that. So that would be my favourite thing about Leith.
Yeah, I would say as an artist, probably owe you a thank you for that. I don't think it was Hip Hop House, but I remember you put a night on.
Beats, Wine, Rhythm and Rhyme, I think I called that one.
There was something about wine which really attracted me, I think.
I got a few poets down.
And it was an amazing night. I know it was something a bit different for you guys, and it was totally different for us. So we came and played this with Sacre Noir. Mm-hmm. And it was, I've still got the drawing. So people sat when we played and drew what they felt.
Yeah.
Some people drew what they saw, and there were amazing people there that night. Like, there were some really cool folk there that night. And I've still got those drawings. They'll be in my Sacre Noir box.
I have a couple of drawings from Sketchy Beats, like the Doon the Rabbit Hole tent when some people were sketching, but I can't remember if anyone done one of me that night. I can't really remember. But I remember what you mean. It wasn't so much they were drawing you, but they were using colours and sketching really different colours on the vibrant of what the music was like.
What we
like
got
that.
Was a lot of charcoal. People were feeling dark. They were in a dark vibe.
Sacre Noir, isn't that black white?
It's sacred black.
Sacred black, sacred there black. You go.
Yeah, they were getting the vibes. I think it's almost maybe provocation. But yeah, I remember being totally fascinated by just the art that came out of those nights. Like, obviously, the poets, the musicians that would play, just the mix of the audience and the folk that were there as well. It was such a good vibe. Sketchy Beats, obviously, is an amazing
it was great
space.
And then even that picked off when Hidden Door, remember they hosted the festival inside the cinema before it became Flats, right next door?
Yes.
And because it was right next door to Sketchy Beats, everyone that was regulars at Sketchy Beats, like myself, got a sit at the Hidden Door Festival. So it was amazing to play in that cinema before it got converted.
I completely forgot Hidden Door had done that at the cinema, because we were just talking about, so Hidden Door is running the week that leads up to the Leith Festival this year.
Yes.
So it's that week in June, second week in June, and it's up at the Old Royal High School, which is going to be an amazing venue.
Yes, I really want to go inside there.
Hidden Door just always do amazing things. But we was talking recently about them being down at Grant and Grassworks, and what an amazing transformation that was. And the sets were just amazing. I completely forgot they'd done that one in the cinema as well.
Yeah.
Good folks do good things.
That's the only one I've been to, but I'm definitely going to check out the high school one just as a fan, because that'll be some venue. That'll be really interesting, that old building.
Yeah, yeah, I think they've got the piano dome people in just now, where they set up all the old pianos and they just have performances. Just I think they'll turn it into an amazing space.
If only if it was in Leith.
Well, yeah, but this is it. Like, I think, like, those kind of creative things, you know, if they're starting off in places like, I don't know if Hindor started off, they did one in the Grass Market. But they bring such great art to spaces that aren't getting used, like that abandoned cinema that, to be fair, is now being flats, but to Royal High, the old Royal High School, which is going to be the music school, it's being converted into a music school, and obviously the Granton Gasworks, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Like, literally just turning spaces into something creative. I love what they do. I think every single episode of this podcast we have big up. we're totally like becoming fan people of Hindor. Awesome. So yeah, big shout out to Sketchy Beats and everything that's still going on there. How long may it continue?
Yeah, I hope so.
So why don't we get stuck into the Love That Track Hall of Fame playlist? Tell us what track you have brought.
Well, maybe no surprise, as a hip-hop artist, I've selected a hip-hop song. I wouldn't call it underground, I wouldn't call it mainstream. It's Cunning Linguists, Castles, featuring Sadistic and A$AP Rock. It's off the Strange Journey Volume 3 album. And it's just a great album, from the production to the lyrics. And I've always really liked Cunning Linguists, but through Cunning Linguists and A$AP Rock as well, who I've been a fan of, it's mainly the label that they are on is called Rhymesayers, and after discovering that label, I just found so many great hip hop artists on that label that I've just really got into. And all three of these guys, were all on Rhymesayers at one point. I'm not sure if they still are, but that's like the modern day sort of Ruckus Records, if you know your hip hop, it's still going strong. They have some great artists along with Ciroc, who's absolutely killing it. They had Dem Atlas, who you got caught up in a bit of controversy, that Me Too stuff, so don't like him anymore, but great music, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's hard. I think art is tarnished often by actions. I'm definitely one of those people that find it hard to consume art when I don't morally get on board with the artist.
Yeah.
And I've really lost a lot of great art through that. Like, there's been musicians who've been huge parts of my childhood that you just have to give up on because...
Especially when, the guy I'm talking about, Dem Atlas, as well, it wasn't like he was a hardcore rapper that said nasty things or he talked about sex. So when he got caught in that controversy, it was like, oh man, you always rap about and sing about really lovely things and peace and love, and now you're... Oh, God, you're fake. And
It's
horrible when you find out these people are sort of fake or make mistakes, I don't know.
It's the problem I think we all have about separating art and the artist.
Yeah.
I think when it's somebody that you really respect, it's all, you take it personally, don't you? You're like, oh man, like, I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did that. And it does feel like it's a personal attack because you just don't condone it. I've got a whole list.
I'm sure there's a lot in the entertainment industry. As far as I know, none of the guys in this song are bad guys. They're just great, really lyrical rappers. And one of the reasons I love it so much is these are three of the most just their vocabulary is just so great. They're just the way they use words. There's just so much to these three guys. Very different styles, but very complex. You could take anything from the verses because it's steeped in metaphor and double entendres. So it's just one of these things that when you listen to these type of rappers, I think it makes you a better writer. It opens your mind to how different people use words. And along with the great beat by Noh, the producer of Cunning Linguists, it's one of my favourite tracks of theirs, and they're one of my favourite hip-hop groups of all time. So I can't say anything wrong about this track. I love it.
Well, I have to say thank you. I'd never heard the track, I'd never heard the group, I'd never heard the producer, I'd never heard of the label. So I spent a couple of days really listening to be fair, the second half of the album that this is on. I've been starting at this track and listening through it and just trying to get into it. But yeah, lyrically, they're pretty amazing. So the first verse, I always think like a good first verse is where, you know, you get sucked in and you're in or you're not. And that first verse is outrageously good. So it does two things for me. It name checks Elliot Smith, who is a singer-songwriter that I love. And it name checks Edgar Allan Poe, who who's a poet that I love, within a genre that I really enjoy, but I maybe don't know. You know, I'm not like the biggest fan. I don't know the ins and outs. I like what I like. I probably like a lot really commercial hip hop stuff, and this just kind of just sits in there for me. It doesn't sound like it's coming out of left field. It sits. It's really listenable as a consumer of somebody that maybe isn't into the more interesting side of hip hop. Like my favorite poet hip hop artist is Saul Williams, and it's not like that, but it's almost structured similarly. You know, they bring you in with other real life lyrics. So I wondered if A, are you a fan of Edgar Allan Poe or Elliot Smith, or if lyrics like that make you go and search out those artists? Like, are you somebody who looks at lyrics as somebody who writes a lot of words, somebody who puts a lot of words to paper? When you're looking at other people's lyrics, do you then go and like research them? Do you go and look for the meanings behind them, or do you kind of just take it and be like, yeah, that sits really well with me?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sadistic's first verse, he has a bit of the Edgar Allan Poe rap. He's a bit of a gothy sort of depressive guy. But the little things, I love the way, I'm sure, it's like there's one line where he doesn't say he's wrote something. He says he's chiselled it. And I just love the fact that he's saying that. I mean, we're talking about castles, we're talking about stone, talking about building up these castles in our head, but maybe it's trapping us. It seems like they could have called the track like a cell or like a jail cell, because they are talking about building up this illusion in their head that they've made this great thing. But is it a great thing, or is it just all in your head type thing? These castles in our minds. Just when he's saying little things like, instead of written, he says chiselled. But just invoking this sort of dark, medieval, timeless sort of poetry that's going nowhere. I think his verses, Aesop Rock's verse is my favourite, because it is the strongest verse.
I'm going to have a little look at what he... So his is the last verse. So it's... You were saying before we started recording about the structure of the song and how it's like a guest verse, then the guy who's in the band's verse, and then another guest verse, and how that... It's maybe more common now, but it didn't used to be.
Yeah, and it's not something you used to see a lot of. The feature verse used to be the middle verse of the last verse. So it's to have a feature verse, and then Deacon the Villain from Cunninglinguist, and then Aesop Rock is another feature verse. It's maybe a bit more noticeable these days, but I can't remember it happened when I was growing up a lot. And an artist called Cannabis has just released a new album, and the first song on the album is Jurassic 5. And Cannabis doesn't come in until about 2 minutes into the song.
Nice.
And I was like, that's weird. I mean, I'm not sure if it works. I liked it. I don't know.
Oh, that's really interesting. I love the idea of being strong enough to not be on your album until 2 minutes into the album. That's like commitment. That's like people are...
And the fact that it was a hip-hop group, so you had four different voices before you heard the guy's voice, whose album it was, So maybe it's a newer
maybe
thing.
Maybe it's a new thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to have albums where it's like Aesop Rock, and he's not on until track 10. He's just doing a verse at the end.
He doesn't... I don't think many people feature on his albums because he's that good that people don't want to.
Okay.
I mean, the thing I love about Aesop Rock as well is a lot of times when you're sitting with mates in the house and you're listening to music, people start rapping over it. And you're like, oh God, shut up, I want to listen to the song. Yeah. Nobody does that with Aesop Rock because nobody can.
Okay. I think as a singer, the tendency is to you just always sing a harmony on whatever's in front of you, or you kind of... You want to get your voice in, but you know when Beyonce's on, you just everybody shuts up. Nobody's trying to sing with Beyonce. I get that. Because I'm just looking at the Aesop Rock verse 3. I'm looking at the lyrics, and so he's got a little bit where he's talking about a tiny pool of energy becoming self-aware. It's quite kind of deep for a hip hop lyric. It's not all cars and bling and...
Oh no, never with him. I think they'd done a study where they'd seen that he used the most vocabulary out of any hip hop artist ever, and he was nearly double like who the next people were. Like just on, I think it was unique words per album.
Mm-hmm.
So not repeating words and unique words per album out of their discography, and he used double over other people. There was some other high people were like Ghostface Killah, Andre 3000, but he was double nearly of vocabulary. He's just one of these unique guys. I must be a statistic or
he's got something
just
to say,
a certain
sure.
level of intelligence. It's crazy. I mean, everything he speaks is metaphor.
There seems to be a lot of that, a lot of symbolism in that track generally throughout the verses. And like you say, like you, the use of words that like chiseling, it kind of really conjures up a visual.
It's a weird album. It's a strange journey. It's them crashing down to earth, like to look out human life, and to try and get to report back on it, and they get caught up in it. So by the end of the album, they're like, "This is place is stupid. Get jiggy with it, y'all. Money, bitches." Like, there's wee joke skits in it, and things like. They land to Earth, hyper intelligent, and then get dumbed down by the current state of hip hop.
By us.
Well, by mainstream hip hop, I would say. Interesting album, although it doesn't always flow concept. Okay. But it has these skits that all bring it together.
Right.
And a sort of story.
Oh, well, I've missed that by just repeatedly listening to the track 10 to 13 or whatever I've been doing. But that little bit of the album's absolute cracking, and I'll definitely be digging into more of it. So you discovered them. Through the label, how long ago was that?
I think at this, well, Cunning Linguists I first heard maybe before they joined Rhymesayers, but when they joined Rhymesayers, I checked everyone else on the label. The album that I fell in love with them was an album called Piece of Strange. It's just a great, great hip-hop album. People like this, I would go back and listen to Piece of Strange, and obviously this album, Strange Journey.
Tell us again what the track is called and everybody that's on it.
It's called Castles by Cunning Linguists, and it also features Sadistic and Aesop Rock.
So, before we let you leave the studio today, why don't you tell us what you're up to as an artist just now?
I'm kind of juggling projects, which isn't the best thing to do, but I'm working a lot with Mog just now. So we've got an EP coming shortly. I'm also working a bit with Deco and Nitty Grits on another EP, and in between that, I'm trying to do my own solo stuff and start aiming towards a new release. Album type release, which is maybe a bit silly because I've got an album I've been sitting on, and I just do this. I collect a lot of music, so I go through phases of I might just pump loads of stuff out. But I'm recording. I'm not doing gigs as much. I'm getting the recording done. That's my plan for the most of this year.
And are you sitting on stuff you've got recorded because it's just not right now to release it?
I need to go back and see. I was in quite a bad place when I wrote it, but a lot of music's quite uplifting. And I had a bit of my mental health dip. And a lot of these songs have things in it which I don't really want to remind myself of right now. It's weird because I know a lot of people struggle with mental health. And I've got a feeling a lot of the songs in this album will help people. But I need to be in the right place before I can share my own thoughts about loss, grief, depression, losing people to mistakes, suicide, things like that. So, yeah, a big part of me changed in the process of making that album and events in my life, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it. It is some of my best work, but it's one of these things that I need to review properly myself. But in the meantime, I'm making a lot of great music with Nunny, Mog, and Deco, and I'll be doing a lot more, so I'm back.
So you're definitely going to be getting some new word material this year, do we think, 2022 in some form?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Whether it's a collaboration or...
I've already recorded, I recorded a verse for someone else last night. I've got little bits and pieces dropping on other people's projects. Guy Superman on the Beat, producer I've worked with recently, I recorded for Nunny for one of his projects. Also recently featured on the Voldo CD, which I was thrilled with, even track one. So I was absolutely thrilled to be on a CD because it's been a long time since I've been on a physical CD that's on sale. So that was nice working with Nunny and the Voldo band.
It's a joy to have a physical release, isn't it?
It's people,
it's that belief in the project. People are really getting behind it when they when they've committed to pressing something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an amazing feeling that we don't think we see enough independent artists doing it anymore, I think. As an artist myself, I'm very guilty now of just releasing digital because of the financial burden.
I get worried that laptops don't have CD players anymore. I get worried that people don't have a CD player in the house anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I get worried that cars are no longer even going to have CD players.
Yeah.
If it might be just Bluetooth through your phone now, so...
Yeah, I was delighted to get a CD for Christmas this year.
Getting a CD through the door rather than bills, it's a nice
It's
change.
A joy, an absolute joy. Awesome, so we are going to link to... I'm going to link to my favourite Word track. I'm going to link to that in the description so you guys can check out some of his music before the new stuff that we get this year. We're going to link to all of the tracks and music that we've talked about in the interview today. And I just want to say a huge thank you for coming and chatting with me this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That's all for this month, folks. You can find all the links that we've talked about in the show notes, and I am very pleased to be able to tell you that Word has agreed to feature as part of the next
Leith Festival live event. That's taking place on Saturday, May the 14th, upstairs at Umami. It's a showcase of local and international rap and spoken word talent. It's an amazing lineup. You can head over to the Leith Festival website and pick up some free tickets and get some more information about the lineup. Don't forget, you can also pop over to the Instagram page to join the conversation and the playlist, the Spotify playlist for Hall of Fame. The link is in the show notes for that as well. Until next time, guys, take care and enjoy the music. Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit the subscribe button and you'll be notified whenever a new episode is posted. Leith Festival Podcast Network. If you'd like to know more about Leith Festival, simply visit leithfestival.com. You can also hit the support button to make a donation or find out about volunteering opportunities and other ways that you can help us to help the community.